Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Today, the title of the message is My Father's House. And we'll begin reading Mark chapter 11 and verse 15. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? Mark 11, 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went back out of the city. Again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we bow before you, first of all, with thanksgiving for the many blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for family. Thank you for church family. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary by your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that all who call upon Him, the name of Jesus, will be saved. And thank you, Lord, for the promise of your return. Now I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word today. That you will give us understanding and insight, Lord, into your word, that we may rightly divide your word and understand and act upon it. Father, we think these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This week I was approached with a question, and I want to tell you how very blessed I felt to be approached with this question. As you know, in the month of April, we are planning to have a gospel concert. Ryan Free and Assurance will be here. Booth Brothers will be here. And looking forward to a wonderful night of singing and praising the Lord. And I was asked the question, we are doing ticket sales and we are things of that nature. And I was asked the question, well, how does that apply to them selling in the temple? And, I thought, well, let's see. And we had a great visit. And again, the person that asked me the question, I'm just so very thankful. And it come to my mind that, if one person has this question, it's a very good possibility the more than one person has this question. And so what I want to do today is just take time and look into the Word of God and get a rightful understanding of what Jesus was doing when He cleansed the temple. And we start out with corruption in the temple. Corruption in my Father's house. Jesus in the text found the scribes and Pharisees and all the religious people buying and selling. Now they were selling everything you could imagine that was related to a sacrifice. Oxen, sheep, doves, and the list goes on. As a matter of fact, if you would walk into the outer court of that temple in that day, it was like walking into a supermarket. If you walk down the streets of Jerusalem, even today, I mean, it's just lined with markets and fruits and vegetables and animals. We go to the grocery store and we find our meat nicely packaged in this little cellophane wrapper and all. It's not like that in Jerusalem, or it wasn't when I was there anyway. They would have chickens hanging from the windows of the shops It was amazing. But when you went into the temple here in the outer court, what you would find is droves of animals for sale. Animals to be sacrificed by the people. They would come in, they'd buy those animals, take them to the chief priest, and have them sacrificed as the requirement was. When Jesus saw this, oh my goodness, he lost it. Well, he didn't. Jesus never lost it, did he? But he erupted in a rage, and he began to go through the outer court area, and he began to run the animals out. He began to turn over the tables of the money changers. He began to clean the temple. Now, the Pharisees would have said, well, listen, we're just providing a service for the people. You know, they're traveling a long ways, and it's very inconvenient for them to bring their own animals. So we're just providing a service for the people. But here's the problem. Okay? As I said before, coming into the outer court of the temple would have been like a strip mall, a marketplace. And you had a choice. When you come to sacrifice Passover, your choice was you could bring your animal from home or you could use one of theirs. Now, not only was theirs convenient and you didn't have to mess with bringing your own animal from home, but when you got there, if you did bring your own animal, guess who inspected your animal? Same people that were in cahoots with the people selling the animals. You see, your animal had to be without spot or blemish to be an animal of sacrifice. So, if people would bring their, they'd bring their animal and they'd inspect it and, nah, this is not good enough, there's a blemish on this. You know, just go back and try again. Then they're left with nothing. They've got to go back and buy it from those who are selling in the temple. And so of course, those guys, having the market cornered, they weren't just selling sacrifices. They were inflating the prices and taking extreme advantage of the people to buy their sacrificial offerings. It was literally extortion. Okay? Jesus put it like this. He called it, he said, you've made my house a den of thieves, a hideout for robbers. And so that was the first problem. The second problem is that there were money changers. Now, the money changers, it's interesting. You see, they did not accept all money. And you had to come and you had to pay the temple tax. Now, when you paid the temple tax, it had to be in temple monies or temple accepted money, which was the shekel. Well, nobody used shekels. Everybody had Roman coins and whatever coins was from their nation. And so they would bring that in, that they would exchange their monies for temple money or the shekel. And they would exchange that money for an extremely high rate. Bottom line, here's what was going on in the temple. It was no longer about worship. It was about shearing the sheep before they got to worship, right? Taking advantage and milking the people for all they could get out of them, okay? And we know that's wrong. Corruption, dishonesty, there's no place for that in the temple. But we have to understand what the temple is. Now, the temple is the dwelling place, literally the dwelling place of God. That's what it's described as. And there were three temples in the Old Testament. The first temple, of course, was the tabernacle. That was a tent that the Jews, they carried the tabernacle around as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness around and around in a circle. That was holy ground. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you've heard before how the Shekinah glory of God would rest upon that temple. And they would see the presence of the glory of God. Because God dwelt there with his people. Then they went on. After that, the second temple was built, and that was Solomon's temple, the most glorious building I believe that's ever been built in all the history of mankind, filled with the best of the best. And once again, that temple was the dwelling place of God until it was destroyed and Israel was taken captive. And then came the third temple. The third temple, of course, was built by those who were returning from captivity. They built men like Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the temple then, and it was even remodeled in the days of Herod. But in 70 AD, something interesting happened. The Romans destroyed the temple for the last time. They wiped it out. And if you will look, since that time, there has never been another temple. The Jews are waiting on it today, right? To see that next temple. The thing that I want you to understand, okay? Give me your attention. The temple was the dwelling place of God. And it was the presence of God that made the temple holy and sacred. You got that? If you understand that, say amen. Okay, all right. So, we know that's how it was. What about today? Let's talk about our temple. Our temple of today. You see, after 70 AD, I said no other temples were built. And they were not. But man did start building buildings. The Jews built synagogues. We Baptists built worship centers. And people started building these buildings. And we try to think of the building as the temple of God. And we even call it the house of God. I'm guilty. I've said that. I've welcomed you Sunday after Sunday saying, welcome to the house of God. Right? But this is not the house of God. I want to say it again. This is not the dwelling, this building is not the dwelling place of God. And why it's so important to understand it is because the dwelling place of God is something way more personal, somewhere way more personal. If this building were the dwelling place of God, if church buildings anywhere were the dwelling place of God, they would never be sold. You know how churches outgrow their buildings and they sell the buildings? If it were the dwelling place of God, you wouldn't mess with God's dwelling place, right? But we do that all the time. Now, please at this point, do not misunderstand me. We come here to worship. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Jesus is here. But you know what makes Jesus be here, right now? It's not that the walls of brick and mortar contain the presence of Jesus. Jesus is here because God's people are gathered together for worship. See, you have to understand. You don't come, when you come into a church building, you do not come into the presence of God. You bring the presence of God with you when you come. That's it. Why? Because you are the temple of God. You see, and to think any other way is to rob ourselves of the relationship that God wants to have with us. You are the temple of God. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus began to address what I'm talking about. In John 4, 23, it says, but the hour is coming, and now is, that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we've all heard that all of our lives, but I dare say that few of us really understand what that means, right? You worship God in spirit and in truth. What does it mean? 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. You are Let's read this together. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? You see, in the Old Testament, people would come to a building, as glorious as that building was, they would come to that building and come into the presence of God. But in the New Testament, we come into a building and we bring the presence of God with us because God lives within us through the Holy Spirit. Do you realize the significance of you being the temple of God? Isn't it awesome? I mean, think about it. We talk about relationship. This is relationship. This is that relationship that's supposed to exist. And the difference is, you see, when they would come to the Old Testament temple, they would come and they'd offer that lamb and it would be sacrificed. And then they'd leave the temple. And they didn't come back until the next Passover or whatever the next feast celebration was. But I want to tell you what, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, when you walk out of these doors today, you're not going to depart the presence of God, because the presence of God's going to go with you wherever you go. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good? That's the point. And don't get me wrong, I do not for one minute believe that churches should take advantage of people and that the worshipers should be sheared like the scribes and the Pharisees were shearing their people. But I also rejoice in the fact and knowing that whether I'm here or whether I'm out in the woods, God's there. I can talk to God. Wherever I am. And you know, and I said what makes it special is when God's people join together. I walk in here all the time through the week. I have some reason to come in or to go out. And it's not the same. I walk in and I'm the only one here. It's a completely different thing than when God's people are gathered like this. I know when I walked through that door today that I was coming into the presence of God, not because of God of this building, but because God's people who are the temple of Almighty God were present. That's what makes worship so very special. That's why when we come together, we're like so glad to be here. Because and I know the world can tell you, well, you don't have to go to church and all that, and you don't need church to be saved. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus died for the church. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. On and on he goes. Is there something special about gathering like this? Absolutely. And what makes it special is when believers who are indwelled with the Holy Spirit lift up their praise to Almighty God. There's nothing else like it anywhere. We are God's temple. And as such, we should always honor God's temple. Okay? The question about the concert. And as I said, that question was never, it was never a conflict or argumentative. It was just a question. And man, I appreciate when people have questions. Because we do not want to do anything that is not scriptural. Amen? We start doing unscriptural things, we stop being a church, right? So, the question about the concert and this being holy ground. This is not holy ground as a building, okay? It's not. Can we invite a gospel group in and have them sing and make tickets available to the community? Absolutely. Say, Brother Doug, what's the difference? There's nothing dishonest or underhanded about inviting a gospel group to come and sing. Prices for the tickets are not inflated. The church is not making money. Okay? But it is making available an opportunity for people who appreciate gospel singing to be ministered to and to be blessed. Listen, the thing that we have to ask anytime we allow anything among God's people is this: is it good for the temple? Now, what's the temple? You are. You are living inside. And so when we ask, is this good for the temple? It's a gospel singing. It should be an encouragement to the saints. It should be uplifting to the saints. And it should be God-honoring. But it has nothing to do with the building. It has to do with ministering within the temple of God, which is inside you and I. Right? But see, here's where it gets really real. And like I say, I preached this today because I thought that some would have, you know, if one person had a question, others would have the question. This isn't a straighten anybody out thing. Okay, I want you to understand that. But as I looked harder and harder and harder at this, God began to speak. You see, I've told you before that you are the temple of God. I've read before how I'm the temple of God. And I've understood that I'm the temple of God. But when you look at it from that perspective, here's what you've got to answer. Am I honoring God's temple? That's me. Okay? You see, our concern can't be so consumed with a building that we forget about the real temple. And you know, I've heard people say, your body's the temple. And it's not the way the world applies that. Okay? The world says, well, if you eat wrong, then you're not taking care of your body, the temple. That is a very loose interpretation of what we're talking about here. Listen, it's Christmas time. I'm not going to talk about people who aren't eating right at this point. Okay? We'll all repent later and get back on track. But that's not the point. When we are going to honor God's temple, we are only going to allow things within God's temple that are God-honoring. Okay? Give you an example. Don't you look at 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, though. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, I want you to meditate on that thought just a minute and let it sink in. God's inside you. God is a holy God, right? There is no sin with God. We're told in the Bible, God is holy, so be ye holy. And so the way we apply this is we've got to ask the question, do we allow anything that corrupts God's temple in our lives? That's the point. That's how this scripture should be applied. Do we allow anything that corrupts my relationship with God? Do we allow anything that hinders my relationship with God? Is there immorality? You know, we're living in a very loose world today. And I've heard multiple times, well, it's just the times in which we live. No, it's not the problem that it's times of which we live. It's what God's people are allowing into their lives. They're not honoring the temple. Let's go a step farther. What about prayer? Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Who's God's house today? Would you raise your hand if you're the temple of God? Are you a house of prayer? Are you a house of prayer? I'll tell you, and I'm not talking about those prayers that you just bless me, bless them, Lord, amen, thank you, here we go. I'm talking about those prayers where you relate to God. And you build your relationship to God and you speak to God as though a man speaks to his friend. What about your prayer life? What about the Word? Time in the Word. I mean, shouldn't the Word be in the temple? That means it should be a place that proclaims God's Word and meditates on God's Word. How much time do you spend there? What's your speech like? You know, today I hear Christians who seem to don't mind filthy language. Brother Doug, it's just words. No, it's filthy language. And it's not promoting your relationship with God, nor is it promoting others' relationship with God to listen to you speak that way. What I want you to understand, you are the temple of God. You see, the more I thought about this, this is where it blew way past this building thing. And I got to meditating on this. I thought, wow, Lord, if I'm going to do it, if I'm the temple, there has to be a worship that pours out of me daily. If I'm the temple, I've got to worry about what I allow in my life. If I'm the temple, I've got to worry about, am I a house of prayer? If I'm the temple, and I am because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I've got to honor God with this temple. So you see how, wow, boy, this just went way deeper. The more I studied, the more personal and the more convicted I felt. Not because of a building of brick and mortar, but because of the building wherein God actually lives. Let me ask you this. How's your temple life? Question saved person, you have to answer. How's your temple life? Say, Brother Doug, nobody's perfect. Dismiss that out of your mind. You are the temple of God. How's your temple life? No excuses. No anything, but you are the temple of God. And as such, how do you honor God with your life? You may be here and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not the dwelling place of God. You're a child of the devil, and I don't mean, well, that's just the truth of the Word of God, okay? But the good news is, Jesus died for your sins, so that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news. That means, today, you can be transformed from an old, wicked, broken-down house to the temple of God. Bible calls it being born again. Bible calls it a new creation in Christ Jesus. That if you'll call upon Him, He'll save you. But you've got to call. Maybe you're here and there's another need in your life. Perhaps it's repentance. Perhaps it's a change of direction and you've allowed the temple to be corrupted. Hey, the good news is repentance is available. How will you honor God this morning as we have this invitation? Heavenly Father, we praise You. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for this reminder that we truly are Your temple, the dwelling place. You have poured Your Holy Spirit within us. And so, Father, sometimes we forget that. And we forget that we are holy because You live within us. So, Lord, we want to honor the temple by honoring You. And Lord, we're going to have this verse of invitation. I just pray Your will be done. Your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.